Man, oh man, oh man. It's not how you want to start a season. Washington falls 0-1 to the Los Angeles Chargers following a 22-16, you know, I talk a little fast, loss against the Los Angeles Chargers week one. It wasn't pretty. Majority of the time, it wasn't pretty. But we got to talk about it. Go ahead and get your post-game analysis with the Trap or Die podcast right now. To the stream, y'all. What's going on?
What's up, Jamal, man?
Oh, man. Oh, my Lord. Homer. So, listen, because of what happened to me on the pregame, let me turn down the music just a little bit. I'm not going to put the number in the chat. But the number is on Twitter if you would like to call in. I can't put it in the chat because I got hate rated earlier today.
Hate
whole
rated.
Bunch of racists. What? I cannot put the number in here. So, hold on 1 second. Let me transition to the stream. All right, there we go. Okay. So basically, Dre, what happened during the pregame stream, man, I don't even know where it came from. I was over here just chatting it up, talking about handicapping and stuff like that for the Washington Chargers game, and all of a sudden I got a whole bunch of bots and random accounts flooding my Twitch, man. They followed me so they can type into the stream, start saying all this racist stuff. So I haven't had a chance to clean out everything yet. It's a whole bunch of N-words and black monkey jokes, all that stuff in my stream. But it's crazy. So I haven't had a chance to clean up my stream yet. I haven't had a chance to block everybody. So the number, yes, Homer, the number is on my go to my channel, my profile on Twitter. You'll find the number there, but I'm not gonna put it in the chat, and I'm not gonna say it in the actual stream. So yes, you can call in. Everything is still there. The number is still there on my Twitter. Do that, and you'll be just fine. But I'm not gonna put it on the live stream at all. So that's what happened, Dre. Whole bunch of races, man, and I don't know how I'm gonna clean it up, but I gotta talk to somebody to figure it out. Yeah, man. All right. So yeah, man, it's crazy, bro. It's crazy. All right, man. Let's go ahead and get this out of the way. Again, if you all want to call in like Homer's getting ready to. He wants to get some things off his chest. The number will be on my Twitter. Let Maul tell it. You'll find everything there. Dre, first and foremost, Washington falls to the Los Angeles Chargers, 20-16. I'll go through the stats right quick, and then I'll get your overall thoughts on the game. Actually, we're going to start off with the storyline. What will be the storyline following this game? 20-16, Justin Herbert goes for 337 yards in the air, one touchdown, one interception. Sacked two times. Only 3 yards he lost, which is kind of crazy. The big news of the day, obviously, is Ryan Fitzpatrick. Hold up. Boom. News of the day is Ryan Fitzpatrick. We got a caller coming in, so I'm about to go ahead and get him in here.
Yo, what's up, man?
Did it work? All right, hold on 1 second. Let me go ahead and get I'm going to put you on mute for 2 seconds. Right. Oh, I can't mute you. Don't let me mute you. Give me 2 seconds. I'm going to run through these stats, and then you're all good. Just give me 2 seconds. All right. So, Taylor Heinicke obviously comes in for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick leaves the game due to injury. Heinicke is somewhat of the savior to save this game out, I'd say. Keep us in it for the most part. 11 for 15, 122 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions, 119 quarterback rating. Antonio Gibson leads the day with 20 carries, 90 yards, but a key fumble that kind of hurt the team. Defense was the worst, surprisingly the worst that you can really imagine with this team. Let me see. They gave up 424 yards total against this Los Angeles Chargers team. 14-19 on third downs. It was bad. So as I said, you can call in if you all want to chat it up with us, man, and get things off your chest. You absolutely can. And we do have a call on the line right now. I'll transition to the caller, and then we'll go to you, Dre. So first and foremost, welcome to the Trap or Dive podcast, the first post-game podcast that we have of the season. Let me ask, who is calling in right now?
Hey, what's up? What's up, Jamal? This is DC Homer, man.
Homer, man, what's going on, boss? Obviously, you had some things to get off your chest. We all did. We'll go ahead and let you get things off. What was some things that you wanted to say? What were some things that stood out to you, man, that kind of surprised you after this Chargers loss?
Man, let's talk about that defense. Everyone all this season was talking about top five defense. This defense right here showed that they're at the bottom, mid to bottom tier. There's no way you play soft like the way they did and expect the defense or the offense to do something. And then, I mean, we're just going to be playing catch-up all season long. I mean, the mid-range throws were all there for the Chargers, and this defense couldn't do anything about it. And let's talk about last year, how their run defense was top-notch. But today they showed that they weren't. I mean, it's like we were playing a preseason game today. And then, of course, yeah, the fumble on Gibson. You know, I see how Gibson runs, and he doesn't tuck the ball that much to me. And I think, you know, it's unfortunate the way, you know, the ball got punched out of his hands, but he needs to have better hand coverage on the ball. And with Taylor Heineke coming in. I mean, I'm not saying he's the quarterback for this team, but he sparks the offense much better than old Father Time did. And I'm not dinging Fitzpatrick, you know, that much, but it's something about Heineke that sparks the offense more. Maybe it's the youthfulness in him, but of course, you know, with that youthfulness, you know, he sometimes makes some mistakes. And I do feel like he needs to beef up some, because my man gets hurt a lot, and I'm afraid he's gonna get hurt.
Yeah.
You know. But other than that, man, I'm gonna let y'all go. Good podcast. I appreciate the time you allow me to do this, and keep up the good work, y'all.
Absolutely, man. As always, you can always call in pregame, postgame, man. Get things off your chest, Homer. It's nice to talk to you finally outside of Twitter. So I appreciate you calling in.
All right, man. Y'all take care.
All right. So Dre, man, you heard what Homer had to say. I'm going ahead and transition back to you, and let me know what's your storyline that's going to be following today, but also your takeaway from what Homer said.
I mean, I agree with a lot of what Homer said, but I don't agree that Gibson didn't touch the ball enough. I think he touched the ball a lot today. He had, I think he had well over 20 carries today. And also, they looked to get him going to pass the game. I think he dropped a couple of passes today, and he fumbled a couple of times. I mean, we lost the one late in the game that fucked us over. But, I mean, he almost cost us earlier in the game with a fumble that luckily went out of bounds. I mean, and I'm a big Gibson fan, but come on, man. You have to be more careful with ball security. That's important as a running back. It's important. It was one of the reasons, like, a lot of people may not remember this name, but Steven Davis back in the day. He was our workhorse running back in the day. He take care of the ball for perfect shit. He would fumble the ball across his game. And Antonio Gibson's fumble today was extra costly. I mean, it was right there. We had the momentum going in this game to take over. We finally started looking like we could stop the Chargers offense a bit. I mean, we got a couple of turnovers late, and then he turns the ball over, and that's the game right there. But, I mean, other than that, man, just to kind of go over some of the thoughts in the game, man, why do we sign William Jackson and St. Juice and draft St. Juice? You know, I thought the purpose of getting cornerbacks like that was to run more press man, yet we ran a soft-ass zone all game. I thought Jack Del Rio did a fucking awful job today. I mean, I expect more out of him in that unit, man, but that soft zone and that four-man, I mean, I get if you think you can run a four-man rush. You should be able to get a four-man rush with the defensive line you have. I mean, that defensive line should be able to get some pressure, you know. So let's first and foremost say the defensive line did shit today. They didn't do anything. But there was no adjustments made whatsoever by Del Rio. We just pretty much waved the white flag on defenses and play a bend but don't break. And Joey and Herbert was breaking our ass all day. So that was first. That was the defense. I mean, that's just nothing more to be said on that. That zone, we got carved up. Offensively, I mean, it's hard to kind of say too much about Ryan Fitzpatrick. He didn't play long. I didn't think he looked that great in the moments that he played. But also, I thought the offensive line was just fucking bad today. I mean, I don't know if this stuff that we can expect all year. I mean, you kind of expect it from Cosmier to have growing pains. He's a young guy, and he was also going against Bosa for most of the game. Charles Leno gave up some pressure. I mean, I felt like it dictated – yeah, I feel like it dictated the play calling in this game. You know, that's why we were trying to go to more of a short-style passing attack, because we didn't have long to sit in the pocket with these guys, man. They were attacking us all game. But Heinicke, I will give it to Heinicke. Heinicke came in again, and he looked good. He was 11 for 15 throwing a day. I think they got a little bit more conservative late in the game. But again, I think that was just dictated due to Chargers were bullying our offensive line, and they had to, you know, kind of go to a more short passing attack. But again, man, offensive line disappointed me, and the defense was just shit all game. That's the worst part. That's supposed to be the strength of your team.
Yes, absolutely. So for Homer, he did want to clarify one thing. He mentioned he had meant to say, if it didn't come across this way, he meant to say that he felt like Gibson didn't protect the ball well enough. So he didn't mean to say that he didn't touch the ball a lot, but didn't protect the ball well enough. And for me, it's a lot, man. It's a lot. And I guess I'll start with the offensive side of the ball, because while the defense, we knew. And Dre, we talked about this. I had said it was either going to be low scoring or it's going to be high scoring. But what I didn't account for, and I'll be completely honest, was the fact that while we kept them out of the end zone, it was going to be this difficult to get them off the field.
Yeah,
I didn't expect them. I didn't expect them to have this type of success throughout the entirety of the game. These guys, like, I'm looking at the stats now, and people on the stream side can see it. Hey, High Life, by the way, I do agree with you. Not a lot of blitzes, and D-line wasn't clicking. We will get back to that, especially the blitz part. 424 yards of total offense for the Los Angeles Chargers, 14 of 19, and that's going to be the depth of everybody. I think the thing, and I said I was going to get to the offense, but I'm not gonna lie to you, Dre. I'm here with you 110% with this defense. Jack Del Rio came out, and I understand the first drive. You want to make your point. You want to establish your front four as that dominant guys. Like, if you're that confident in these, and he did it last year too. Now that I think about it, to an extent, he allows these front his defensive line to kind of work their way into the game to try and set the tone. However, that first drive, they didn't even sniff Justin Herbert. Yeah. They didn't even get into the backfield. Like, the ball was coming out in like 2 seconds. But not only that, the Chargers were getting back to the line 5 seconds after the play. So you had no opportunity to even recover. Nobody knew what hit them. And while they settled down after that first drive throughout the remainder of that first half, it did not go like that throughout the rest of the game. As we saw, the things started piling up. Third down is obviously a key metric for all of us. But also, 2 sacks, 3 yards that you lost. The Chargers weren't necessarily really getting touched. Those 2 sacks that they gave up, those were meaningless sacks. They weren't impact sacks.
No,
the same way that Washington, they only gave up 1 sack, but it was 2 yards. These are small sacks that really didn't impact the outcome of a game or a play. Like, you're still alive in whatever time they did with sack, anything like that. And oh my goodness, it's a lot to go. So I guess what we'll do, Dre, because you gave your overall thoughts. Let's get to the storyline, man. You talked about it, but we're going to harp on it a little bit more. My storyline for today, and you can piggyback and reiterate whatever you would like, but my storyline is definitely going to be about this defense. For a team that had a lot of expectations coming into the season, who can still very well maintain those expectations, Dre. They can still very well maintain those expectations. But to start out the season in front of everybody, in front of your home fans, in front of Ron Rivera, who encouraged fans, former fans, everybody who's just interested in the team again, to come out and show out against the Los Angeles Chargers and this road team, they put up a dud. They did not do anything well that said, you know what, this team is continuing the success that they had from last year. But not only that, there was people who were confused or who had their trepidations or concerns about that 2020 defense, because when you played those good quarterbacks, Dre, and you played those good offenses and you played those good coordinators, you didn't look too good. You didn't look too good at all. And now when you come back against this Chargers offense, it's remnants of the situations that happened against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's remnants of the situation that happened against the Seattle Seahawks, Los Angeles Rams, Arizona Cardinals, so on and so forth. So my key storyline is going to be the fact that this defense is not necessarily who we thought they were. It's not necessarily who we thought they were. They can still be top 10, but if you thought they were elite, you had another thing coming, because elite defenses do not give up 14 first downs out of 19 third down attempts in the NFL. It just doesn't happen.
No, yeah, I mean, like I said, that whole last drive, like, I was pissed when Ron Rivera decided to not go for it on 4th and 7.
I mean, my goodness.
Because I already, like, the way the game had been going, Jamal, like, at that point, I had no confidence the defense was going to stop the Chargers at all. And what happened? We lost, you know? I mean, so the defense did nothing to prove all game that they should have been trusted in that situation. I mean, that's not to say the 4th and 7 is a guaranteed call, because in a different – all right, look, before the season, if you give me that circumstance without telling me any context of the game, I'm taking the punt all day. I'm like, okay, my defense can stop them. But watching that game, that defense showed me nothing that they were going to be able to stop them. And then that, 3rd and 16, that is a backbreaker, man. Like, that was demoralizing. The game was over at that point. You know, it's like
– The final drive.
Look. Keenan Allen was Jason Witten all game. How do you leave the best receiver on that team open literally all game? You play soft zone all day, and Keenan Allen was just sitting in the zone, and Herbert was so fucking accurate all game. I mean, Herbert wasn't missing throws. So at some point, you got to say, the zone's going to have pressure on him, you know? So you have to, like I said, again, why do we sign William Jackson, and why did we draft Benjamin St. Juice? These are two guys you brought in specifically to play more press man coverage. And I get that you're not going to run press man all game. You have to be able to mix it up. But I felt like we were in zone all game, because every time I looked, someone was getting open behind the zone. I mean, and like I said, you have too many when you have an accurate quarterback like that, a zone is rarely going to work if you're not getting pressure. And we was getting zero pressure on him.
100%. And to highlight, because we're gonna talk about these blitzes right quick. And you brought up a really good point just now too. That's worth talking about. So I'm gonna bring that up right after this one. But the blitzes, not a lot of blitzes. And the crazy thing is, I agree with you. But what's even worse, Dre, highlights mentioned the fact that we didn't blitz enough. But when we did blitz, it was some of the weakest blitzes that you can see throughout the game. I've never seen Cole Holcomb. Cole Holcomb is blitzing up the middle, the center A and B gap, and you're getting stonewalled at the line of scrimmage. You're not even getting penetration on your blitzes. And it's like, and if you ever thought that Del Rio wasn't aware that his defensive line wasn't bringing pressure, you're incorrect. But what's even worse is that his blitzes weren't even getting home. So it's kind of crazy how things unfold on the defensive side of the football. What I will say, because obviously we are smart enough to understand that this is two teams that's playing. I hate to say it, but you do have to give the other team credit. The offensive line played really good. Rashawn Slater, oh my God. Like, I've seen instances where Chase Young was shut down today. Like, it looked bad. And I never really anticipated, like, the level in which Chase Young would be, mitigated. I never thought that was going to happen. However, it was to the point where nobody made an impact. I mean, obviously we had the fumble that I actually thought was an incomplete. I'm not going to lie to you, Dre. But there was just moments where you just never knew when they was going to get home, and you prayed to God it was going to happen. You just prayed to God it was going to happen. Wide Pony, thank you for the follow. Little Baby Angel, thank you for the follow as well. Dre, I'm going to hand it back to you and let you know about get your thoughts on two things. The blitzes, but secondly, Highlife mentioned this part, and that's what I wanted to transition to afterwards. The blitzes, but he said, to be fair, he thinks that without the fumble in the second half with Antonio Gibson, it's probably a shutout in his opinion, a second half shutout. So I want to get your thoughts on these two things.
I mean, yeah, that's possible. Yeah, Antonio Gibson fumble.
Yeah, it's possible.
You know what I'm saying? That was a big fumble because at that point in the game, like I mentioned earlier, we had all of the momentum at that point. You know, William Jackson just got a big interception. We're up in the game. And then you fumble the ball inside the five-yard line. I mean, you know, that's just a huge momentum shift. But the point is the defense coming into this season has been hailed as an elite defense. It's been hailed as a top five defense, and they didn't look aggressive at all today. Like, you know, I like to see flying around from an elite top-notch defense. Even if you're playing against a top-notch QB, like a Justin Herbert has proven to be, I didn't see guys flying around. I didn't see guys playing fast on defense. I saw guys sitting back thinking and letting the Chargers dictate the whole game. Like I mentioned on Twitter, we played a Greg Blatch defense. For a lot of y'all don't remember, Greg Blatch is the defensive coordinator for us after Greg Williams. And he had what everyone knew what was called the bend but don't break defense. And that's the defense I saw all day. We played a bend but don't break defense tonight, and that was an awful game plan for the talent that you have on that defense. We didn't come into the season thinking we're going to just have to hope teams don't score on us, but they can move the ball, but we don't want them to score. We didn't come into this season with that thought. We came into this season with, oh, we have Chase Young, we have Montez Sweat, we have Jonathan Allen. Oh, we just signed William Jackson.
All
oh,
these names.
You know, all of this talent. Oh, we just drafted Jamie Davis. Yeah, all I see is a bunch of guys sitting around standing and thinking and not making plays, you know, or not flying around to the ball. Chargers, every time they caught the ball, they looked like they had about 5 or 6 yards to run. You know, even the run defense didn't look much improved, but I just don't think the Chargers had to run much today because Eckler was hurting and Herbert was carving our asses up. So to me, yes, Gibson's fumble was huge, no doubt. And it possibly could have changed the outcome of this game. But I am so disappointed in the defenses showing today, and I hope that's not indicative of the season that we're going to have, because this is supposed to be the strength of the team.
Here's one thing, and we can close out the negatives after this thing. Guess when those turnovers happened in the first place, Jerry? They were already in Washington's territory when the turnovers even happened. They were driving.
Yep.
The Chargers was driving, and by the grace of God, Washington stopped them. Whether it's the interception or the fluke fumble, Washington got lucky, or they made a play. I'm not going to discredit him. They made a play on the interception. Shout out to William Jackson. And then the fumble thing, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't care what people say. You can try and convince me that it was a fumble or not. I don't know. It looked fluke. It looked shady to me. But if they're going to give it to us, that's perfectly fine. I just feel like these two turnovers, obviously, they were inside. They were already marching. They were in field goal position nonetheless. And by the grace of God, Washington made a play that kind of negated everything. The point being, to what Dre is saying, everybody, you're driving and you're not putting up any resistance against this Chargers offense. Even when you thought it was going to be a dogfight heading in, it just wasn't supposed to look this bad. Wide Pony mentioned, Jesus Christ, elite defenses don't give up 14. Yes, correct. 14 third down conversions, whether it's game one or game 16. Not only, first off, 14 of 19 is alarming to begin with. But secondly, 14. You had 19 opportunities to stop these guys, Dre. You got them to third down 19 times, and they converted 14. 14 to begin with is a high number regardless of anything. 19 is very excellent. You're stopping them. But also, you really don't. It's a lot. You're stopping them when it matters leading up to the third down, but then they're converting. So it goes to show, it's context, obviously, but it goes to show they're getting themselves set up in really good situations, third and short. The third and 16 was an abomination. It reminded me of the 2016 defense where you couldn't stop anything on third down. Like, this one game was a culmination of everything that you saw in 2016, and by God, I do not need to see that again. What's going on, C-Wellian? He mentioned this could have been way worse. They chewed up as many yards as they can. Did whatever, whenever, man. Okay, Dre. Here's the conversation. So first and foremost, John Kahn mentioned about 20 minutes ago, Rivera was on the podium and said that he doesn't know the severity of Fitzpatrick's injury. As we mentioned before we started, Ryan Fitzpatrick did go down to injury. He was out after the first quarter. And Heinicke played a really good game in substitution in replacement for Ryan Fitzpatrick. So there's no update on his injury just yet. We're going to hand it to you, Dre. Man, no to Cam. Yes, Homer. That's gonna be interesting how they play that moving forward. But you have Kyle Allen for a reason, so they still have two quarterbacks regardless. So Dre, what was your opinion on this quarterback situation? The differences between Fitzpatrick and Heinicke? Because I did notice some things, but I want to hand this to you and see where you are at with this one. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the question. But to everybody that's still in the chat, I cannot put the number out on Twitch. I won't do it right now. But if you would like to call in, the number is on my Twitter. You can call in and still get some things off your chest. Talk about the game, whatever aspect you want to talk about, get it off your chest. Let everybody know how you're feeling, man, and things like that. So, Dre, with that being said, what was your opinion on Heinicke and Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, like I said, Fitzpatrick didn't play many snaps. But again, I didn't see nothing that made me feel like, you know, things would have been any different had he played. And in fact, the offense looked kind of dead with him in. But again, it was so early, he could have possibly gotten it on later on. But Heinicke gave him a spark. I mean, he came in the game those first two passes when he first came in for Fitzpatrick. He overthrew a couple of guys, but it was like nerve. But once he settled in, like after that roughing the pass, the first roughing the pass on Bosa, like Heinicke locked in and he started doing what you asked him to do. But again, later in the game, I thought the Chargers defense started dictating how we called the game. As you noticed, we started running the ball a lot in that second half. And I think that had a lot to do with the fact that the offensive line just couldn't stop the Chargers, man. They started sending the house. And look, that's the difference between the two defenses today. The Chargers defense was better. They were flat out better than our defense today, and I didn't expect that. And the Chargers blitzes were getting home. They were hitting us. When Fitzpatrick was in the game, he was getting his ass lit up. That's how he got hurt. But then Heinicke came in the game. He can use his legs. Obviously, he can get out of trouble. And he's more crafty. And as you see, remember that shovel pass he did to McLaurin? I said, damn, that guy's
yeah. crafty. But then it was crazy, but it looked really good.
That's what gamers do. You know, gamers do stuff like that. And I think Heinicke's a gamer. But what you had, and that was a thing that pissed me off on offense all day. So many stupid penalties. Brandon Scherff killed one draft by himself. A holding penalty and a false start. That killed a drive. You know, and this is supposed to be an all-pro offensive lineman. We keep franchise tagging, and he's killing drives by his damn self. And like I said, you know, Cosme, he had a rough outing, man. And like I said, I can't put too much on Cosme. I mean, he was going against Joey Bosa first game, but he had a rough outing. I mean, it was that pressure was coming from the right side all day long. So I think that dictated the play call, and he had to get a little bit more conservative. But this offense looks like they can't sustain long drives because right now they just frankly don't look disciplined enough. They do something stupid every time, you know, there's a long drive. We seem like the offense that has to make big plays if we're going to win games. You know, this offense has to make big plays because the chunk yard is not doing it for us because we have something stupid happen. So like I said, Brandon Scherff killing drives by himself.
So I'm going to do this math right quick. Okay. So 30% compared to 73.6%. Those are the percentages that Washington and the Chargers had respectively on third down. These guys, there was one team who couldn't get off the field on third down, and there was one team who couldn't stay on the field after third down. Like, it just looked bad. Not only that, Washington had 259 yards of offense, while you averaged 5.3 yards per play, which is somewhat respectable. You weren't on the field long enough. You stalled, and went whichever way. Two things, actually. Brandon Scherff was a key part to why this offense had their issues. But secondly, I got to give credit in one spot too. Dustin Hopkins kept us in this game. And this is one person where I really didn't anticipate saying he would keep us in the game the way he did today. But Dustin Hopkins, for whatever reason, if regardless of how we was moving the ball or acting on in the first half of the game, it would be a blowout if it wasn't for Dustin Hopkins.
Yeah.
One touchdown. Nine points off of field goals. He did miss one, which was like the worst time to miss it.
51-yarder. I mean, but, those are iffy.
Yeah, exactly. It's iffy. So, And the thing is, while you're expected to make those, he kept us in the game to that point. Why couldn't the offense score some damn touchdowns? You wouldn't even be in that situation if you getting the ball in the end zone. So while I'm not making an excuse for Hopkins, he kept us in the game, and for that I give him his credit. Antonio Gibson's obviously is. I think the one thing that kind of stands out to me, man, he ran really confident today. I'm not going to sit here and because we can do it all day, right, Dre? There's a lot that's wrong with this team, at least in this opening. Like one of the things that we talked about in the preseason was the fact that we had concerns. Like if this offense continues to look out of sync, then like what's the odds that this carries over into in the regular season? It didn't matter about how much you played in the preseason. That wasn't the argument. But if you're not looking that well when you're on the field, the questions continue, and they should be legitimate questions as to how are they going to look when they're actually, when things are for real and the bullets get to flying. These guys weren't necessarily in sync. The offensive alignment wasn't there. They had plays where they was giving up. You already mentioned it. I'm repeating ourselves a little bit, but the offensive line was giving up pressure on both sides of the tackle positions. One in which Leno ends up getting Fitzpatrick hurt. Plain and simple. it is what it is. Fitzpatrick got hurt because Leno could not contain his man or could not block the man in front of him. And then, obviously, I don't understand why it took so long for Terry McLaurin to get involved, but, like, we just weren't there. Like, we couldn't find the receivers. I think heading into the third quarter, we had only targeted the receivers twice in the passing game. This whole thing was just kind of crazy, man. Something that we just didn't anticipate. And for my eyes, I would say this, just from a broad level thing, I don't know what's going to go on with Fitzpatrick moving forward, Dre. I don't know what's the immediate future analysis or health concerns for Fitzpatrick. But if we're talking about a four-day turnaround in which the Washington football team plays the Giants this Thursday, odds are you're expecting Heinicke at least to run the ship at least this Thursday. And this is going to be, believe it or not, Dre, I'm going to just say it. It's going to be a cold red game. The Eagles just won, something that a lot of people really didn't anticipate. Cowboys, we know how good the Cowboys looked against the Super Bowl champs offensively, and we're seeing the Giants probably in about 10-15 minutes here. Washington has to win this game on Thursday. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're already down your starting quarterback. Heinicke has to do something, and this defense has to make a major improvement because the pieces that they played against the Chargers, you're facing some similar talented, skilled positions with the Giants offensively. So I want to get your thoughts on that before we close out and the immediate future for this Washington football.
Yeah, no, we already in must-win situation, man. You don't want to go 0-2 with the schedule we have. No, and this is a division game. This is big. This is a home game. So we've lost, what, four straight games to the Giants and Daniel Jones and his crew. So this is must-win. You lose this game, I don't have confidence you win more than five games all year if you lose this game to the Giants on Thursday night.
Oh, you know? No, don't say that, Dre. For real?
Hey, look, I'm just going to say it because, look, the schedule is too tough, man. I mean, they're playing – this is a first-place schedule. And like I said, you only get Giants this Thursday. And the Giants is not – in my opinion, that is not a game that is looked at as an unwinnable game or a game you shouldn't win. We may even be favored. I wouldn't even be surprised if we're favored going into this game against the Giants. But in Vegas, it may be figure out who's the starting quarterback, which is another question for us. Now, I actually wanted to ask you this, Jamal. Healthy, if Fitzpatrick is healthy, who are you starting on Thursday? Are you starting him or Heinicke?
Oh, man. So me, I would start Heinicke. But here's what's going to happen. Because we've seen how Ron Rivera acts throughout this entire offseason, man. He preached competition. He preached all these things where, you know, the better players are going to play. But when it came to certain positions, kicker, special teams, what's his name? Apke, quarterback. Now, quarterback was legitimate in the sense that Heinicke didn't do much in preseason to even show that he earned a starting role or consideration for a starter. That's fair. However, when somebody raises the question and forces your hand, Rivera defaults to the guy he initially anticipated on being whoever he wanted them to be. So with that being said, while I would go with Heinicke after this, and highlight, you mentioned it, you need to ride out with Heinicke. Gives us the best chance to win. See what Liam mentioned, you know, he bet Heinicke is starting Thursday. Look, Rivera is not that guy, man. He's the person. If Fitzpatrick is starting, I mean, if Fitzpatrick is healthy, he's not about to jump ship after one game. He's going to go until he sees concrete evidence that Fitzpatrick cannot move the ball, that Fitzpatrick is not as mobile as Heinicke, that Fitzpatrick is not as the versatile playmaker that Heinicke can be or that Heinicke has shown him to be. But not only that, he's going to hear it from the media. He needs to hear it from the media. He needs to hear it from the fan base because we know he's on Twitter. He has to have a lot of things in his ear to convince him that it's time to move on from Fitzpatrick because he wants to prove a point. And that's kind of where I'm at with it, man. What would be, I'll flip it to you before we get up out of here. What would be your answer to that question that you asked?
Personally, I would go behind Heinicke. I mean, for a couple of different reasons, but one big reason is the offensive line doesn't look like I don't have much confidence in him right now. And Fitzpatrick was like a sitting duck behind him. Like he looked like he had stone feet back there. It almost looked like Alex Smith quarterback there last year, the way he was just a sitting duck in the pocket. The yes, Heinicke comes man, in, he's crazy. Able to sniff. And that's something I've been talking about with Heinicke since last year. Heinicke has pocket presence. If he doesn't have nothing else, he has pocket presence, man. Like, it was a couple of times. It was one play where he threw an incompletion. It was a quick pass to the sideline, a screen pass. But he got rid of it so fast, and the pressure came to his face, and Heinicke did the smart thing, got rid of it so fast. But stuff like that was happening all day. Yes. Yeah, he threw it away. But when Fitzpatrick was in the game, he was getting sacked on those type of plays. Whereas Heinicke has that presence that he can sniff stuff out like that pretty early, and he can also make plays with his feet. Like, Heinicke can get you 4 to 5 yards on a quick scramble where there's nothing there. You know, whereas Fitzpatrick, you know, you want him to have time back there. You want him to have some time to dissect the defense and to be able to carve a defense. He needs that. He doesn't have the legs that Heinicke has. And right now, I don't have the confidence in that the offensive line to protect Fitzpatrick well enough to let him do what he needs to do. And I don't think the offense is going to be effective enough if that offensive line is not clicking. That's why I would definitely go, if both quarterbacks are healthy, I'm going with Heinicke because Heinicke has the legs. And also, Heinicke did what you asked him to do today. He probably could have done more. But, you know, they look like they wanted to grind the game out and, you know, run the ball a bit in that second half. But after that fumble, the game changed and the game plan changed, whatever. But anyway, yeah, I would go with Heinicke if both guys are healthy.
Yeah, man. It's an interesting dilemma. One thing's for sure, I did tweet this during the game, Dre. Washington cannot avoid quarterback controversy to save their goddamn life. Like, whether it's injury, whether it's just a player getting benched, whether it's the second stringer, they cannot avoid it. And here we are again, not even 2 weeks into the season, it's here. We'll see how they move. One thing's for sure, Heinicke played really well. Hey, to hell what AJ was talking about. Our boy AJ, man, he hit
his own. AJ feels.
He wasn't necessarily sold on.
AJ, yeah, don't want, yeah, we know. That's what AJ don't want no one here.
Yeah. All in on D-Watt, man. I feel him. But we know what's going on. So with that being said, everybody, this was an instant analysis, an instant recap. This will happen every single week. Of the Washington football team, win, lose, or draw, man, you're not going to get that from everybody out here who are wrapped up in the fan base, man, and can't talk about the negatives. We're going to get it off our chest one way or another. I will be back tomorrow. If Dre wants to hop in, he'll be back tomorrow as well. But we do have, because of Thursday's game, we will have the Tuesday show will be a preview with the New York Giants reporter. I will announce that tomorrow, who's going to be joining us on the Tuesday show. With that being said, everybody, see you Thursday. Hi, Homer, peace out. T, what's going on? Hope everything is well. You know what I'm saying? Smoke a little something. You know what I'm saying? Watch the rest of the games. Watch your Chiefs because they on right now too. Everybody, appreciate y'all for joining. Again, I'll be back tomorrow, and we'll be back on Tuesday as well. And then, matter of fact, today through Thursday. Simple as that. Today through Thursday. All right, with that being said, we out of here. Y'all enjoy the rest of y'all evening, man. Watch some football. That's exactly what we about to do. Keep y'all head up. Keep y'all head up. It's only week one, man. Let's get into it. All right? Peace out.